Good evening, everyone. My name is Pam Stack. I'm your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Happy Monday. Thank you for joining me. I'm so glad you're here. My guest tonight is Brett Battles. He's written thrillers, mysteries, science fiction, and just about everything in between with aspirations and hopes of writing even more genres. He's just completed his 31st book and just recently released his most recent Jonathan Quinn book. Brett Battles was one of my first guests when I first started doing this show 5 years ago. It'll be interesting to hear his critique of me to see if I've learned to shut my mouth. Brett, welcome back to Authors on the Air. It's good to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Good to be here.
I cannot believe it has been almost 6 years since you were first on. And
that's crazy to me. I didn't realize it had been that long and everything. That's fantastic.
I think it's wonderful. You've been a guest on here both by yourself and with Rob Brown, who is a good friend of yours and a co-writer.
Right.
And a collaborator, and so a lot of things have happened, and most importantly, my gosh, you had, you know, 6 or 7 books to your time, and now you're up to number 31. Congratulations on your hugely successful series. I had to go back and look at your website, which, you know, has changed as well. I think at
and
the time,
we're in the process of updating it now, so it'll be changed again in about a month. So,
wow. But you know what's interesting to me? I recall you had Jonathan Quinn and you had Project Eden. You had just started writing the middle grade and YA adults. You did not have a Rewinder. You did not have Vetcoms. So, but you had your collaborations with Alexander, one of my favorite groups of books.
Right.
My goodness. Is there nothing you're not going to write about?
I have a feeling there will be. There are just not enough hours in the day. But, I write whatever, it comes to mind. Whatever the story that hits me is what I'm going to write. And, of course, you know, I'm always going to write I say always until it's over. But the Quinn books are definitely, you know, that's the heart of my writing. So those have been going on since the beginning and still going on. The as you said, The Aggrieved, which was the 11th one, came out this summer, and the next one should be out probably in May next year. So that's a lot of fun. And the XCOMS is actually a spinoff series from the Quinn books. So the first book of that came out last year, and I'm just putting the finishing touches on that, which is book number 32, and that'll be out in December 12th, I believe. Pre-sale isn't up yet, but should be up in about a week or two. So, so that's very exciting, and keeps me busy, and I've been doing a little bit more sci-fi and stuff, which is exciting to me, too.
I know you do. We're going to talk about that, too, because I love your sci-fi, but let's rewind and go back and tell listeners about Jonathan and how Jonathan Quinn and Nate came into being, because this is number 11. My gosh, this has been a long time that you've been writing this character.
I was going to say technically it's number 12 because I did write a prequel called Becoming Quinn, which is like number zero in the list, but so there's like 12 of them, but I've been working on Quinn. Quinn was my first book published, was The Cleaner. That was my first one, so he holds a special place for me and always will.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
This is what I like about this book, and I'm just going to read the opening two sentences, which I think are indicative of who your characters are. The unthinkable has happened. A life has been extinguished. One belonging to someone Jonathan Quinn and his partner Nate care about more than almost anyone else in the world. Those responsible will pay. It's just a great statement. I love that statement because it so defines these characters now that we've come to know over these many books. When did Jonathan come to you and how?
That is an excellent question. I've been asked that question before, and I'm not really sure I have a wonderful answer for it. But he kind of came to me over time. As many ideas and characters, he was influenced by stuff that I was seeing and just ideas that I have. One of the things that have always intrigued me about stories or from my angle is, I like to find out what happens next. And what I mean by that is, a lot of stories, you'll have this action, then everybody moves on, and they've had all this stuff happen over here, and they move on, and we forget about all this stuff happen over here. And my question is, well, what about all those bodies they left behind, or the mess they've done here? You know, it's like, wait a minute, there's still story back here that needs to be told. And so Quinn kind of evolved as a what happens next character in my mind, in that his job in the world of espionage is to dispose of bodies so nobody will ever find them. And that to me is, he comes in after the assassin has done their job, or a meeting that has gone bad and they kind of knew it was going to go bad, so he was ready and waiting. He's that character who comes in after everybody else has left and takes care of the mess. Now, of course, things don't always go well, and that's what happens with the books, and so he has to get a little bit more involved. But that was where the genesis of his idea was, of his character was, is me thinking about, well, what else is going on? What else is happening next? And I remember thinking about that for a long time because, I love the spy genre, but I didn't want to do another James Bond. I didn't want to do any of that, anything Robert Ludlum-esque or anything like that. Because that stuff is being done. It's done great. But I wanted a character that was unique and also fed my desire to tell stories from a different angle. I like telling
different
stories. I don't know. I don't know if I'm always achieve it. But when I tell stories, I always like to go at a slightly different angle than maybe a lot of people would go to. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's where my head is when I start out. And Quinn has allowed me to do that.
The Office is also an interesting, well, The Office in quotes, is always an interesting thing because, I'll tell you what. And by the way, I just went and repurchased The Cleaner because I haven't read it in so long. I'm going to read it again. But you're welcome. The interesting thing to me is that I think there are probably things like this, people like Jonathan who are cleaners that happen in real life. And it's not something you would ever talk about. So you have you've left yourself wide open with this character and his background to really kind of create a whole lot of really interesting stuff, which makes me ask you, because you want to know what happens next, how do you shuffle through all those what ifs and grab the thread that is going to work? How do you know?
Well, I wish there was an easy answer to that. When I sit down to write a story, I'm not a guy who's going to write an outline or anything. I'll have some ideas and ideas of where I want to go, and then I'll just start writing. And I'm pulling at threads all the time, but I'm pulling at a lot of them. And I'm really sure where the story is going to go from day to day often. And finally I'll finish and I'll have this real mess of a rough draft, but I'll see that, okay, I see where the through line, what I needed to do. And then when I go back through, I pull that all together and I found my strength there or the thing, the thread that I wanted to pull. And I pull everything taut against that. And hopefully anyway. And I guess that's kind of how I do it. I like to explore, not just when I'm reading stuff, but I like to explore when I'm writing and see where things go to a, But, you know, usually I'm pretty good at keeping going in a general direction anyway. So it's not where I have to start all over again. Not often anyway. That happens on rare occasions, but
it's interesting to me. This book was published in 2007. This was your first published work, right?
Right.
Here we are, 10 years later. What have you noticed has changed in either your writing style or the way you approach writing? What do you know now that you didn't know then?
Oh, well, how long do we have? We could be here all night. I would say, as far as my approach, I mean, I think I've become, you know, a better storyteller from the get-go, meaning that, you know, when I wrote The Cleaner, you know, it took me a lot longer to get the story in shape that it needed to be in. Whereas now when I write a book, I have a better sense of story because I've written 32 frickin' novels. So if I don't have a better sense of story, something's wrong with me. And so that helps. It helps me write in a more economical, or I can keep things focused a lot better that way.
Sure.
I have a much better, well, I had a very good work ethic when I did The Cleaner, because I wrote that when I had a full-time job. So I, you know, would write for a couple hours every morning before I went to work, and then sometime after work. So that was the only way I would finish. So I had to have that. When I first went full-time though, full-time writing, there was a lot of months there I just kind of lost to just like doing nothing and enjoying the, oh my God, I'm my own boss kind of thing. And I could have been writing other things. Well, it didn't matter because my publisher only wanted one book a year back then. So, you know, I would still have plenty of time to do it, but it was like, you know, blah, da, 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 da. Now though, starting in like 2010 fallish, I really became focused on the work, and I treated it in many ways like a job, where it's a 5 days a week job, sometimes on weekends if I have nothing else going on. And you know, I have set times that I work every day, and I have goals that I try to reach every day, because just like any job, you have things you need to do and goals you need to reach, instead of just wasting all the time. And then I can build in, you know, breaks in between and stuff like that. But I'm always know what my next project's going to be. You know, I can, you know, I actually map out for years ahead. Not that I'll ever live up to it, but it's just to kind of give my head an idea of when I'm going to be doing certain things, and it'll always change, but it's good to do that. So, you know, I know right now that I'm finishing up the XCOMs. I know come January 1st, I'm going to start writing the new Quinn book. I know that'll be out in May. And then I know I'm probably going to do a standalone over the summer, write that. And then I'm going to be on to the next XCOMs book. So, you know, it seems very clinical, and it is in many ways, but that by doing that, it frees me up to be very creative when I'm actually doing the writing. You know.
But I think that if you're looking at it, if you say it seems very clinical, but actually it sounds like a business plan for a small business. And
yeah, well, that's
after
exactly
all,
what it is.
After
I am
all,
a
this
small
is
business
what it
owner.
Is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I am a small business owner. My business is my books, is my stories that I'm telling, which is great because I love what I do for a business, because I love, you know, making things up and getting into these fictional worlds. It's just, I love it. It's great. You know,
oh, good. I'm so, it's very cool.
I wish something, you know, I would love to be able to know what goes, you know, how it all works. I can't see into my head. Friend wants to see inside of my head. I wish I could provide that opportunity. I don't know how, but, you know, it's fun. It's just,
but it's a very cool thing, Brett. You have to admit this
thank
is
you.
A very cool thing.
Hey, it's what I've wanted to do since fifth. Pretty happy to be here. Yeah.
It's very cool. I want to back now. I want to talk about some of your standalone thrillers, because I want to particularly mention your book covers. I oftentimes will just flip through genres in Amazon because I like reading across genre.
Sure.
I'm a voracious reader.
As do I. Yeah.
I read
Absolutely.
Everything. And I think covers are so important that I think when I get things submitted or done in Photoshop and an author mm-hmm. wants me to read their work, I think, oh, wow, you want me to read something from the dollar store versus going to Barnes & Noble and picking out a book.
Right.
You know,
it's
frustrating to me. So get your standalone titles. I have to tell you that mine
that's
just
a great cover, isn't it?
Amazing cover, yes.
Yeah, that was done by James Egan at Bookfly Design. Yeah, that is I love that book cover. I love that book cover.
Oh,
that is just
yes.
Wonderful book cover.
Yeah. It is amazing.
And I love that book. That's actually one of my favorite books, too. So, although I could say that about a lot of my books.
But you know, this is what's interesting to me. This is both an adult but kind of a young adult book too.
It can be read either way. Yes, I did
right.
not write it specifically as young adult, even though the characters are younger. That wasn't what my mind was, and that's the same
right.
also for my Rewinder trilogy. It's the same thing. I just wrote the story as I saw it, and I was not thinking about it being one or the other or anything. And that's the way it should be read. It's whoever wants to read it, it should be fine for. Yeah.
And that's the great thing that I like about your fiction. This book is kind of a thriller with a twist. It's a scary thriller. Almost, you could almost say it borders on the horror genre, but it's not.
It's a little
it's
bit,
not
I guess. Yes,
death.
Yes.
It's not spooky like that, but it's woo-woo. I mean, it's woo-woo.
It is woo-woo. Yeah, it's not gory and that kind of
right.
flashery thing. But, yes, I get it. It's psychologically horror. In a way,
but you like that. You have a tendency to really like writing kind of on the edge, don't you?
I love writing on the edge. I love I love just, you know, doing interesting things, and I love going in directions that are logical but not expected, you know, because I think a lot of times storytellers will just kind of lead you down the path that's been so well worn that you can sleepwalk through reading the story, and I try
yes.
not to do it. I'm not saying that I don't do that, what I just said, sometimes unintentionally. I'm sure I do that sometimes, but I always try to make it more because
you're
mindful
of it.
Yeah, but I'm reading it too, so as I'm writing it, and
right.
I want to be entertained, and if I'm not entertained, then why should anybody else be entertained? So
well, so that's interesting to me. Let's talk about that a little bit. You said I'm reading
mm-hmm.
it too. Do you read
mm-hmm.
your whips out loud?
Oh, in fact, yes. When I'm doing my rewrites, especially my pass of my rewrite, which I am doing right now on the next XCOMs, I've been reading out loud all day today. So, which I think is probably freaking my dog out, but nonetheless. I've just been sitting here talking to myself all day, which actually isn't different than any other day. I just happen to actually be reading something written down.
But, you know, don't you think that that's an important thing for writers to do, particularly with dialogue?
I think it's
yeah.
vitally important, especially dialogue, but not just dialogue, because when you're reading prose, your, you know, descriptions, everything, you hear the language, you hear when something is
clunky.
Clunky, or that it has a great rhythm to it, then you want to
yeah.
do a little bit more with that, stretch that out a little bit, or you say, oh, that's a beautiful sentence, but you know what, that does not work here, you need to cut that out. And so reading out loud is vitally important in that. So absolutely, always has been.
And what about when you're working from female and male POV, the
uh-huh.
dialogue cannot be the same. The words that those characters use must
right.
have a different rhythm and cadence. That vocabulary
sure.
is different. So do you find you're able to pick up when you have a female character talking, you say,
right.
no, shoot, that's something a girl would say. Do you catch that?
I don't actually necessarily think in terms of girl or boy saying. I think of in terms of what that particular character and what their disposition is. I mean, it could be a real battle-hardened, tough woman kind of
sure.
who has that characteristic, who's going to talk one way, or somebody who's very empathetic, whether he's male or female, is going to talk another way. And
right.
I kind of look at each of them as an individual character. And, I take particular care, and I don't know if I always succeed, but it's very important to me because I'm a male writer, so it's going to be easier for me to write males, that when I write
sure.
females, that I make very strong females who can do anything that they need to do, And so
right.
that, I mean, like my ex-con's book is kind of a group, but it's the head of the group is a female, and two of the main characters within the group are also female. So there's a lot of female focus in the XCOMs from that standpoint, but it's they're action-packed books. So that's great, because I don't think of them necessarily as male-female, but there are times when that comes up, and it's great. Yeah, I think about it in that way, but I always I try to be true to them. I don't want to be cardboard cutout, and I don't want to be unintentionally sexist or anything like that, because that's stupid stuff. You want it to be more real.
Right.
You want it to be the way people really
based
think.
On the character.
And, yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
We're going to get to XCOMs in a minute, but I would be remiss
sure.
if I did not talk about two of my favorite books, Take Poe, which you co-authored with Robert Gregory Brown.
Right.
I love these books. They were
Thank
so
you.
Unusual and so riveting.
Again, another female character lead on that one. So.
Yeah. I like the fact that she was just a kick-ass, take-no-prisoners kind of a character, and
truly
a lot of fun to read these books. Very real to me. Felt really felt very authentic to
I'm
me.
I'm glad to hear that.
So
Thank
congratulations
you.
On that. I hope another one is coming. I hope another Alexander Poe
Rob
is coming.
Rob and I have been talking about it for a long time. The big
problem
is when you're co-authoring. And you have a whole bunch of other projects going on, finding an appropriate toll in your schedules that works together is not an easy thing. So it is something that is on both of our lists, but it just keeps getting bypassed by other things that are happening. But I am confident there will at least be one more Poe book, if not more than that, because she's a great character.
She's a very great character. I love it. And so let's talk now about the XCOMs, because this is your spinoff from the Jonathan Quinn series. And again, another really strong character, a couple characters, female characters, who don't take any guff from anybody. Tell us about the overall tone of this book. For those who have not had a chance to read it, please.
Sure. The first one came out last year, and I'm writing the second one, or finishing the second one, and it'll be out in December. They are – what the XCOMs are is a group of operatives. It's basically three women and two men, and actually a third man who kind of works from off-site to help them out. And they each have a different specialty. They've been brought together by this mysterious committee with the idea that these people will be sent into situations where help is needed, but no help is coming for anything, such as, maybe there's a corrupt government thing going on somewhere, or there's a situation that nobody else knows about, but they're not sure if it's happening. So we're going to send these people in to find out if there is a problem, or something needs to be really done very fast about a situation, but there's no way that, anybody's going to be able to respond in time other than this group of operatives. So that's kind of how I set it up. But the tone that I've gone for is that's a little bit, there's a little bit more humor in it. It can still get dark. It can still get, crazy with the action and everything, but they also have some back and forth, there's some, history between two of the main character and, who's, she is a, former assassin. and this other guy who's kind of a tracker who, you know, they had a short romance years ago, which she knows was a complete mistake. And he is always, you know, he's always calling her babe and he loves, you know, he's one of these, you know, she wants to kick his ass like every other day, which is great.
Right.
It's wonderful tension to the thing. And, you know, I love their characters. I love it, it's a kind of an international group. And, you know, they all bring a different perspective to things. And it's funny and it's fun and, you know, and it's just crazy. You know, the tie-in with the Quinn books is that the assassin, Ananka, is she was in the Buried. She was at the beginning of the Buried. She came in later and helped him with something. And then we had the Aggrieved, that came, the last Quinn book that came out that you read the a little bit of the blurb on. That came out in the spring, and the ex and Ananka and three of the others from her team actually went and helped Quinn in that book. So they make a guest appearance in that book near the end. And now they're back for their next adventure on their own. So there's, I mean, you know, there's definitely cross pollination going on. So
I like that,
but
though.
It's fun.
That's a lot of fun to read books like that.
Yeah.
Where did the name come from?
The X-Cons, well, what it is when they were first gathered together, they had all, something had happened to them in their particular job and whatnot, and they were about to go, I mean, they would have either been thrown in jail, they would have been executed, whatever, but this mysterious committee kind of plucked them out and said that they were going to try to clear their names, but in the meantime, the secret world, the world of espionage, had basically excommunicated several of them.
So they are
excommunicated. They don't call themselves the X-Cons. I call them the X-Cons, and the book calls them the X-Cons.
Cool.
But in essence, they are the excommunicated, even though they're technically have been reinstated. But that they're not. They're really, you know, they have a little bit of problems out in the outer world. But that's where the name comes in.
I love it. I want to talk now about your science fiction books. I just have so enjoyed reading these, Project Eden.
Oh, thank you.
And they're really a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And these are ones that really are best read in order, simply because such an amazing series going here, and
right.
Very important for you to kind of know who the characters are and the way the world has evolved as it is, correct?
Exactly. I have three different science fiction series. The Project Eden series actually kind of borders between science fiction and just straight thriller. But that's the one you're talking about. And that's seven books complete, and it is kind of a pre-apocalypse, post-apocalypse series, and definitely want to read that in order. Then I have my Rewinder trilogy, which is three books are all done, it's complete, and those are time travel, and I take a interesting little twist on time travel that I don't want to say because it would give it away. But
well,
I love those books. Totally, totally close.
Let's just talk about Danny Younger. He's
our lead.
he is the really cool guy. And all I'm just going to say, and this you could find it out on Amazon, is that you'll never read his name in any history book, and you'll never know what he's done because – if you did, you'd never believe it, but the world you know would not be the same without him.
That is correct.
He is a rewinder whose job
is
to observe history. It is
a fascinating
concept. Fascinating.
Yeah.
You will not be writing any more rewinders?
That is not necessarily true. What I would say is this particular trilogy is a complete story.
Is done.
So
okay.
if I come up with another take on the whole thing, which is very likely because I love that world, I may do another trilogy in the future sometime. I know, you know, I get asked that a lot, so it's, you know, it's on my mind, but I have all these other ideas that I want to explore first. So it's, you know, it's
sure.
you know, I just, I don't have enough, even the, you know, the much as I get out, I don't have enough time.
Remember when you said to me when you first started, you were first your own boss, and you said, "Oh, I didn't need to have a book out for another year."
Yeah, I know.
Year.
I'm so mad at
you. Wish you could, right? Don't you wish you could rewind all that and say, "I need that time now."
You don't know the half of it. I mean, that would have been like 3 or 4 years of extra time, or at least 3 years, maybe a year, 2.5. I don't know, but still,
and,
I could have gotten
pace
a lot out.
Well,
oh,
the pace
God,
that you're
yeah.
writing, that's 3 books a year. So, you know,
right.
you would have
I know.
Had...
I could have got it 6 more books, potentially.
Good grief.
That makes me sad. Were you trying to make me sad? Because you made me sad, Pam.
No, but I want to make a point to all those people who think they have time for everything. The fact of the matter
right.
is, especially when you're your own boss, you really do have to... keep up with the passage of time and make every second count. And
you do.
You know, you said something really important. You love what you do, even though this is your business. It is, I think it's important for, at least in my paradigm, it is that you understand that you don't get off work and go and have fun. Your life and work and fun should all be together. There's no, okay, I'm not having fun doing this. I'm going to take the day off and go have fun. You should be having fun all the time anyway. And this
well,
is what I get
from
most
of it. Definitely helps. It definitely helps.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't say that. I mean, I did have a job for 20 years before that, and there were fun days and not fun days. But it was always just a job, and it wasn't a career, even though it was. It would have been a career. Some people would have thought of it as a career because it would have been what they wanted to do. I just was like going, okay, well, it's paying my mortgage or whatever it is. And it was nice. And it was allowing me to write. So, that happens, but yeah, preferably you want to be doing something that makes you happy or at least allows you do what makes you happy.
Makes you happy.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we have so little time left and I don't want to squander it, but I do want to ask you a few things. We've done this before. We played Final Five, 5 quick questions, 5 quick answers.
Okay.
Are you game? They might be new questions. They may not be.
Game.
I don't know.
All right.
So whose book is on your nightstand?
Oh my gosh. It's kind of a, Game of Thronesy type book. I'm kind of stalling because I'm walking to my nightstand so I can get it.
Oh, okay.
because I can't remember the author. It's the second book. Oh yeah, it's Patrick Rothfuss, and the book I'm reading is The Wise Man's Fear, which is the second book. The first book is Name of the Wind, and it's this great kind of. It's almost Game of Thronesy. It's a little bit has a little bit of a magic in it, sort of, but it's. It's definitely got that, medieval kind of feel, but this one is all told from the point of view of one person who's telling the story of his life to some other people. This book is at like 1,000 pages long, and
I love it.
The other one was like 750 pages long, and he's telling the story of his life. And I swear, I'm over halfway through the second book, and he's still only like 17 years old as far as his story that he's telling. So.
But
not
it's
only
a good
knows
story.
How long this is gonna, oh, it's so good. So good. Yeah.
Oh, good. I love when I get into books like that. You know, you don't even realize how big they are, but you don't want them ever to end because they're so
right,
good.
Right.
So when you're not writing, and I know you are so close to your family, you have wonderful family and children. What do you like to do for fun?
I like to hang out with my friends. And of course with my kids, I like to, spend time with, special people and I, like to, walk my dog, I guess, go to the movies. These are all really lame answers. Really
That's okay.
What I like to do is I like to spend time with my girlfriend. How about that? Can I say that?
You can say whatever you want. It's your life. No one's going to go in and say, no, you can't do that.
There you go.
Do you listen to music when you're writing? And if not, what music do you like to listen to?
I don't listen to it when I'm editing. If I am writing out of my house, like at a coffee shop, or lately I've been doing a lot of writing at libraries, which I love. And I will listen there just to kind of keep me focused. And what I listen to is soundtracks. And specifically lately, I have two soundtracks, or I think it's two that I just kind of do a randomizer, you know, where it just plays songs for both of them. And one of them is, I think it's season 6 of Game of Thrones. And the other is the soundtrack to the video game Last of Us, which has this beautiful music. And so, and they're both kind of haunting music, and they can get very, you know, action oriented. And they, so it sets this great mood. I can't really listen to music with lyrics because I mean, I probably could a little bit, but that would slow me down, I think.
Your subconscious may be typing in lyrics, too.
It is very possible. Or I may just start singing, and nobody wants that. So.
What is the name of the next book, and when's the release date?
The release date is December 12th. It's the XCOMS 2. The name of the book is XCOMS 2, and specifically Town at the Edge of Darkness.
I like that.
So that will be... it'll be out December 12th.
Wonderful. Well, Brett, thanks for coming back and chatting with me. There's so much to cover with you because you've I mean, you had like 7 books before, and now you have almost 31 or 32. So there's a lot of territory there for such a short amount of time. But I appreciate you spending time with me. Thank you so much. And let's keep in touch. I'd love to hear more. And I'm going to send you, do you read on a Nook or a Kindle? Does it matter?
Kindle. I read on a Kindle.
Okay. I'm going to send you Network Authors on the Air Press a copy of their anthology for a cause called Betrayed.
Oh, they're fantastic. Thank you.
Kick-Ass Crime Survivors. Proceeds go to a charity. So I'm very excited and very honored to be the publisher of that book. They are the sponsor of tonight's show. All the best, my friend.
Fantastic.
You and I'll talk again soon. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brett. Good night.
Good night.
And that's our show for tonight, friends. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be speaking to George Fong, the author of The Coldness of Night. His first book was called Fragmented. His character comes back. My God, what a great book. I can't wait to talk to George. Have a great night. Thanks for being with me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.